You're listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July 16, 2019, the House today passing a resolution denouncing President Trump's, quote, racist comments. They weren't racist, but they called them that. Talking about the tweets he made Sunday suggesting that four congresswomen, the progressives, go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested areas from which they came. He didn't say anything about their race. He also said, and once you do that, come back and show us how to do it here. He did say come back, but that part is dropped every single time by mainstream media. The vote 240 to 187 on this resolution, four Republicans joining the vote for the Democrats. Will Hurd of Texas, Fitzpatrick, Upton Brooks, independent, Justin Amash, who was a Republican, now independent, he also supported the resolution. And in speaking about the resolution from the House floor, Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker, said, every single member of this institution, Democrat and Republicans, should join us in condemning the president's racist tweets. Whoa, right there. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer made the announcement that the House parliamentarian ruled Pelosi's comments were not in order, should not be used in debate, should be stricken from the record. She was in breach of House decorum, describing a resolution when she referred to the president's racist tweets. The Democrat House voted not to strike her comments, of course. And later, Nancy Pelosi said, I'm not going to take back what I said anyway. I stand by my statement. I know she did. And I'm proud of the attention that's been called to it. I know she did. And I'm proud my remarks are getting the attention they're getting. I know she is. Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell has said the president is not a racist. That he said that again flatly today, just like that. The president's not a racist. But all the mainstream media keep wanting him to say something. And you know what McConnell then said? Look, all of us should tone down the rhetoric, lower the volume. All right, let's turn to politics. Joe Biden. He was at 1.18 percentage points ahead going into New Hampshire. That'll be the first primary state, 18 points, but it's evaporating. I mean, it's going up in smoke. Now 24% of likely voters say they back Biden, those in New Hampshire, 24%. But Sanders and Warren are now at 19%. He does not have an 18-point lead over them anymore, not going into New Hampshire. But, of course, we're still a ways away. Now, on another poll out of California showing Democrat primary voters in that state have Senator Warren surging past the favorite daughter in California, Senator Harris, and former Vice President Joe Biden. Michigan swing voters are by majority siding with President Trump's America First immigration agenda, and they're blasting plans by 2020 Democrat candidates who want to open the U.S.-Mexico border and decriminalize illegal immigration and provide health care to all illegal aliens. Now, the Michigan swing voters voted for Mitt Romney in 2012. They switched to vote for Hillary in the primary against Obama. Then they turned around and voted for Obama. They voted for Clinton, and then when she did not win the primary, then they turned around and voted for Obama, not once but twice. But then in 2016, they went to Trump. And they don't like what they see happening right now with the Democrat Party. In fact, one of those, as part of the focus group, said, why would you want to give another person from a different country something free? He said, you give them free benefits, this and that, that's ridiculous. They'll come from anywhere and get a house and a car, too. He is so right, and the American public is denouncing, and they're going to do it at the polls against the Democrats. Those progressive freshmen, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her squad, the term squad put on them by Nancy Pelosi, have been doing great at fundraising lately. They have raised more than $2 million in campaign contributions during the second quarter of this year. Now, they want to use it for some of their individual races. They're looking at, you know, growing and getting bigger and everything. And I will point out, while they're looking at going after conservatives and Trump, they're also pulling money out of the hands of would-be Democrat candidates. That could be very costly. Former U.S. Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens, passing away today at age 99. John Paul Stevens, was the longest-serving justice on the bench, serving nearly 35 years. He was considered a moderate when Republican President Gerald Ford nominated him. Then on the Supreme Court, he became known as an independent thinker. He retired at age 90 in 2010. But his issue and his influence as he switched from moderate to independent to more liberal, supporting abortion rights, said that terrorist suspects at Guantanamo Bay should be able to plead their freedom in U.S. courts. And then this issue troubled me to no end. He wrote an op-ed piece, no longer a U.S. Supreme Court justice, but he wrote an op-ed piece saying we should get rid of the Second Amendment. This was a U.S. Supreme Court justice. It says basically pull the Second Amendment out of the U.S. Constitution. He served the country and the nation and the Supreme Court. We thank him for his service.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, especially for our children. A national chain of daycare centers that opened a facility in Washington, D.C. But soon, toxic vapors were discovered leaking from the ground. Wellington Environmental responded and put in a vapor seal so the children were no longer in any danger. Now, in another case, a child was playing with a toy in his basement. And like kids will sometimes do, he was putting the toy into his mouth. He got sick enough to be taken to the hospital. And what had happened? Wellington engineers and a chemist found traces of rat poison. So Wellington professionally cleaned up the danger. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This is Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Hear this, a document accidentally published by a NATO-affiliated body is releasing still classified material precisely where in Europe the U.S. stores nuclear weapons. They say it's an accident. Somebody's got some splaining to do. Speaking of nuclear material and so forth, of course, the European Union said just yesterday they think Iran's violations of the nuclear deal don't constitute enough reason to reimpose sanctions. They're doing everything they can to keep from getting really tough with Iran. And of course, we pulled out of the deal, and then immediately Iran said, well, we're going to start pushing our nuclear production faster. But the European Union says, well, they really haven't made that much gains. We don't think they will. The response from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, with a slight smile, as it's written here, he said, it seems that there are those in Europe who won't wake up until Iranian nuclear missiles fall on European soil. But by then, it'll be too late, of course. There are concerns after social media messages are spreading urging migrants to show up at the border city of Del Rio, Texas, and storm the border, enter by force. And so what's happened as a result of that, U.S. Customs and Border Protection ordering in 50 officers, shutting down vehicular traffic through the Ciudad Acuña Del Rio port, setting up concrete metal barricades trying to keep migrants from suddenly rushing to try to get into this country. Now, some of those coming might want to just be here and earn a new living, a new life, and not harm anyone. But we know by fact many are here that are creating mayhem and death. Federal racketeering and murder and other charges filed against 22 MS-13 gang members in L.A. They say they were carrying out medieval-style killings using baseball bats, machetes, taking hearts out of chest. 19 of those indicted are illegal. Illegal. And all but two are under the age of 24. These are some of the good people coming across the border illegally. Moved to the Rio Grande Valley sector. Border Patrol agents say they arrested three members of violent gangs and a child sex offender trying to get through border security. And they say they have previously removed at least two of those gang members and that child sex offender. And they're coming back again. And, of course, if you don't have any borders, if you go with the Democrats, say, don't bother, let them all back in. They're parts of violent gangs, like I just described, and are a child sex offender. Why don't some of these Democrats who are all for this say, we'll open our house. Maybe that child sex offender would like to sleep in my child's bedroom with my child. And then you look at what's happening in North Carolina. One of the most recent cases, Johnston County, North Carolina. An illegal alien arrested, charged, not convicted, but arrested and charged with sexually assaulting a six-year-old. A six-year-old. North Carolina has seen a number of these cases involving illegal aliens accused of sex crimes. Earlier this year, an illegal charged with raping a 14-year-old before attempting to flee the U.S. And two illegal alien teenagers were charged last month for allegedly gang raping a 13-year-old. Yeah, there's some good people coming across the border. Oh, and look at this. Somebody is woke in Chicago. Illinois State Representative LaShawn Ford, Democrat of Chicago. Over this last July 12th and 14th, at least 41 were shot, 9 fatally. And at one point, bullets struck the representative's car during one of the shootings. That's right. He was suddenly in the target range. You know what he's now doing? He said, I'm working with a concealed carry instructor. We're going through the neighborhood. We're going to encourage citizens to get their concealed carry license because it makes no sense for people not to have protection they need. My God, you're right. You arm the decent law-abiding citizens. Chicago doesn't want anybody to have guns. But the thugs are going to get theirs. The gangsters are going to have their guns. Why not the citizens? And they're going to do everything they can to make it difficult for Chicago residents to get a gun. They make it extremely hard. Of course, the gangsters, they get their guns without going through anything. And this Illinois state representative, a Democrat in Chicago, said, we need to arm our people. That's going against the Democrat narrative of get all the guns from everybody. You ever order food from one of those delivery drivers? Shows up, maybe a little late, maybe on time. You get the food, you thank them, you pay them, give them a little tip, and you go back in to open it up and enjoy your food. Well, a group called DoorDash is doing that in several places. And in Pennsylvania, a guy said, man, I'm really hungry for ribs. I want 6 ribs from a local barbecue joint and some waffle fries. Ordered them. The DoorDash delivery driver showed up. A lady, he paid her, gave her a tip, said thank you. Went back in, opened it up, and what the? What he found was his order of ribs, he said, were half eaten. Some of the ribs still had teeth marks in them. Yeah, she's been fired. And the company says, we're sorry, we'll make it up to you. All he knows is that I didn't get my ribs tonight.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA. To text the show, it's 855-282-8255. It's 855-282-8255.
Don't you, baby,
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So coming up in this hour, we're going to look at a lot of different things. For one, how liberals just absolutely look away if violence is carried out by Antifa and other liberal supporters. We'll also, at the end of the hour, have a little discussion about young and old love. Yeah, let's end it on a nice sounding story this evening. And of course, in the last hour, we spent a lot of time about the House resolution passed today condemning Trump, labeling what he did the other day as racist when nothing he said was racist. It's their interpretation. I had numerous comments coming in Larry Connors USA Facebook. Read a lot of them. Paul also stating that sticks and stones may break bones, but words will not hurt. Democrats should focus on real problems instead of admonishing the president for his word choices. Yeah, that would make sense, though, wouldn't it? And then, of course, you've got Joe Biden, former vice president, and he just flat out says there's never been a president in American history who has been so openly racist and divisive as this man. I would disagree, Biden. I would say that your president, the one you served under, was extremely divisive. He had every opportunity to make things better in this nation, being the first black president. And I certainly thought the second term around, he would become a real statesman and help us put racism aside. But that president was, remember when a police officer stopped a black man from entering his own home, and the president suddenly jumped into the story saying that cop needs better training just because a black man's going, well, he didn't know the guy, he didn't know the neighborhood, and he just saw the way he was going in the door, looked kind of strange. Of course, remember that led to the beer summit where they got together at the White House, had a beer, and the president took time to learn the actual facts of the case. And remember Trayvon Martin, of course, being killed, was not killed by a white man. They'd want you to believe it's a white man, and not. Zimmer was Latino, Hispanic of some type. And immediately President Obama said, he looks like if I'd had a son, just like what I would have had. And immediately that sparked outrage among folks. Yeah, think about that. If the president had a son and he'd been killed just like that. That was divisive. And then when we had Ferguson, the first thing he did is send in the attorney general. The attorney general. And did that not create more divisiveness? Of course it did. But here's Biden. No president has been so openly racist and divisive as this man. I would disagree. But speaking of Joe Biden, remember, he's been called out by members of his own party, Senator Booker, Kamala Harris, when he made remarks about working with segregationist senators, saying, you don't understand the damage you caused, Joe, by even acknowledging that. You don't know the harm. You're not woke. Well, here's something else that Biden would like to have disappear, because he wants to be president. In 1977, different time, speaking during a Senate committee hearing, debating a busing measure. At the time, Biden was a first-term senator facing tough re-election prospects in his home state. Busing was a big issue in his home state of Delaware. And you know what he said? Please listen. Please listen. Then Senator First Term Biden in 77 said, unless we do something about this, my children are going to grow up in a jungle. The jungle being a racist jungle with tensions having built so high that it's going to explode at some point. Wow. I'd say that's extremely racist. It was. It was then. It is now. Because when you start talking about busing is going to create a jungle. Now, what does that say? It builds on that slanderous, slurrous stereotype. And Joe Biden used those words. And so today, the House decides it's going to call Trump racist because of a tweet he said, and he never said anything about anyone of any color and leading to a jungle. Nothing. But it's Trump. If you missed a lot of the time we spent on that, I would encourage you to go back. That program will be posted a little bit later this evening. Lucas, right? Sometime before this, but 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, I should say. It'll be posted. Lucas says he'll have it up as a podcast so you can hear it and share it with other people as to more details about that House vote today and some of our thoughts and remarks on Larry Connors USA Facebook, which I read in comments. But here's something else that happened today in the passing of this. And you watch the mainstream media, they said, this is historic. Never before has a president been labeled a racist by the House. Well, here's something else that is historic that happened today. Unprecedented. Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker, was delivering a statement as a prelude to the vote on that House resolution. And Republican Congressman Collins of Georgia raised a point of order, saying her statement is a violation of House rules. And at the time, you had Congressman Cleaver chairing the meeting, presiding over the chamber, and he just ended up leaving, just walking away. Let me give you more details on it. Here's how it went down. You had Nancy Pelosi using some of her remarks, and she said, Democrats and Republicans should join us in condemning the president's racist tweets. Racist tweets. That was a violation of House rules. And that's what Collins of Georgia was calling out, saying she just broke House rules. And they're actually in the House rules. Jefferson's manual literally says you cannot refer to a statement by the president as racist on the House floor. I'm looking right at it. Jefferson's manual says, cannot say anything about having made a bigoted or racist statement on the House floor. She can say all she wants to the media outside, but when you're on the House floor. So he called a point of order. And Steny Hoyer stepped in because what happened, as I said at the time, Cleaver was overseeing it. Congressman Cleaver, Democrat, simply declared, I abandoned the chair and left, just walked off. Didn't want to get involved in it. He said, I was trying to make a fair ruling as to whether Pelosi broke the House rules and people aren't cooperating, so I just abandoned the chair. Well, then North Carolina Congressman Butterfield, also a Democrat, assumed the chair. And then here came Steny Hoyer. Steny Hoyer stepped up. He's the House Majority Leader, a Democrat. And he said the words used by the gentlewoman referring to Pelosi from California contained an accusation of racist behavior on the part of the president. The word should not be used in debate. Well, the Democrat-controlled House then vote along party lines not to strike her words from the record, because that's normally what would happen. Because Congressman Collins of Georgia cited House Rule 22, Clause 1B from Jefferson's manual. The rule requires remarks on the floor be confined to the question under debate, avoiding personality. And even Congressman Cleaver, before he left the chair, said, this chair will remind all members, please, please do not make personally based comments. So they began to drag on. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do? Well, then Pelosi appeared to leave the House floor, according to reporters. That's also a violation of House rules. When someone's words are taken down, members are supposed to stay seated on the floor until the words are stricken. You sit there and you watch what's being done about your words and what you did. But not Nancy Pelosi. No, I don't have to stay here, but I want to. I can get up and go. Well, of course, what it came down to when they actually end up taking the vote, because the question then is, strike her words. But no, they're not going to do that. It's a Democrat-controlled House. They're going to defend Nancy Pelosi. If it were reversed, if a Republican had made a remark that shouldn't have been made and Republicans control the House, they probably would have done the same thing. They would not have seen justice done. They would have gone the political way to defend the Speaker. So I'm not saying this is just the Democrats, but I am pointing out that's what happened today. And Nancy Pelosi stormed off, and there were boos from other members at the time, by the way. Of course, they were the Republicans in the House. And she said kind of flippantly, I cleared my remarks with the parliamentarian before I read them. Well, apparently she didn't, or the parliamentarian didn't recognize, yeah, that would be a violation. But of course, they didn't care because they're all hell-bent on calling Trump a racist anyway. So she said it from the House floor as opposed to just letting the resolution speak to it. Parliamentarian procedures be damned. And to that extent, when do the libs speak up and condemn violence when it's carried out by members of their party or their supporters? When? Please don't hold your breath. We'll be right back.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
You're listening to Larry Connors USA. To call in locally, dial 314-821-0590. Dial 314-821-0590. Dial 314-821-0590.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
If you really want to be a true and just American, you should call out injustice wherever you see it. And if you see violence carried out in the name of hate and race, call it out. I don't care who it is. Skinheads, I have no use for you idiots. Klan members, the same thing. Go back under the rock where you should be. And to that extent, Black Panther members that want to create violence, or those who gathered in Charleston came with attack weapons. And, of course, they encountered the skinheads. They all came to do battle. But there were, as the president said, people on both sides, some good people on both sides, because there were Americans, black, white, different colors, genders, religion, coming together, some to support Confederate statues not being taken down, and some to say they should come down. But they didn't come to fight and battle, and yet some did on both sides. So there were some good people on both sides, and there were some bad people on both sides. The problem is the left, too few times, if ever, will call out the violence carried out in their name. We just had an incident over the weekend, Saturday. A 69-year-old man, 69, decided to attack a Tacoma, Washington ICE facility. He was throwing lit objects at buildings and cars in a parking lot. One vehicle went up in flames. They did not know what else he had or what he's in. They didn't know, what are you throwing, grenades? What are you throwing? And he wouldn't stop. So obviously, police opened fire on him, killed him. No ICE personnel were injured. He left behind a manifesto which said he was using a gun, highly regulated in Washington. And he said he had also built a cheap, home-built, unregistered AR-15 and six mags. But apparently he didn't have the gun on him or wasn't using it at that point. But he also was carrying out the attack using these incendiary devices. And he was urging other leftists, ignore the laws, arm yourself. I have not heard one word from any Democrat to condemn this. I'm not seeing anything on any mainstream media of the left doing a big story on this and saying this guy was wrong and calling him out. If they did it, they simply did, well, he kind of went crazy and he did this, and they just kind of move on. And whether or not they even mentioned that he was urging other leftists to ignore the laws and arm themselves to carry out similar attacks against ICE, they don't mention it. They just don't mention it. Nick Nolte for Breitbart has written a piece talking about some of the indifference of the leftists, and particularly the Democrat squad, as Nancy Pelosi referred to them, refusing to denounce any violent extremism. And one of the cases being the one I just described. And in fact, there apparently was some of them, let me see, who was it? It was Ocasio-Cortez and Omar Congresswoman Omar. And they were, some reporter did get to them and was asking them, well, do you have anything to say about this Antifa firebomber, and do you guys feel partly responsible? You have them running around all the time saying, we're getting death threats all the time. The president's endangering our lives, as if what they're saying is not causing danger for American citizens, primarily conservatives. And whether or not they are to be given credit and or blame for inspiring this wacko's decision, the reporter asked the question, would you condemn the Antifa firebomber? Do you feel partly responsible? According to the report, they got into their SUV, and Congresswoman Omar, apparently thinking she was off camera, can be seen breaking into laughter, ear-to-ear laughter. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny that you could ask us about that? That's funny. It's funny. And if you also recall, over the weekend, we had protesters go into another ICE facility, pull down the U.S. flag, replace it with a Mexican flag, and also take a Blue Lives Matter flag and deface it. And I have not heard again anything from any member of the squad or any other Democrat condemning those actions. Not one. Not one. I've not seen any mainstream media say, this is wrong. This should not happen. No, they don't. They just kind of look away. But if some white conservative wacko, far right wacko, decide to take firebombs and throw them at a Planned Parenthood center, oh, there'll be all kinds of hell to pay. And he will be called out, and they'll say, see, Trump is inciting this. Especially if it's attack against a black church. Trump's to blame. And they will be all over it. When it may not have anything to do with Trump, it may just be the guy had too many drinks and decided, I'm going to raise some hell. And that's the first building he came to. May not even known what it was. Or maybe it was an intentional hate act. And it should be condemned. It should be condemned by conservatives. It should be condemned by liberals. So why can they not have the same measure of condemnation when members of Antifa carry out things like this? The terrorists had left behind a manifesto that read, it's time to take action against the forces of evil. The handmaid of evil says concentration camps should be more humane. Of course, he's talking about so-called concentration camps where illegals are being held at this time until they can be processed or adjudicated. If they have been, we ship them back. But Ocasio-Cortez and Omar, they did not want to answer that question. They just walk away. And don't forget that Congresswoman Omar also refused to condemn the Antifa attack against our government at any point, and Al-Qaeda. She was talking about, at one point Monday, Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda. She refused to condemn Al-Qaeda. A reporter asked her, can you respond to the president's claims that you are a communist and that you're pro-Al-Qaeda? Her answer, we no longer are going to allow the dignification of such a ridiculous, ridiculous statement. Also, if we ask if you're pro-Al-Qaeda, you're going to say, that's a ridiculous statement. Well, I guess what we should do is pull up some of the writings that you've written and some of your previous remarks, and it will show that you have not only supported and encouraged Al-Qaeda and that you are pro-Al-Qaeda, but you're also sick with hatred for this country. People of her district elected her. Do you think they knew what they were getting at the time, or they just thought, you know, she's a seems to be a bright young woman. She's a refugee that's come here. Maybe this would be great, a Muslim woman. I mean, and Muslims are not, I'm never going to be one to put folks of any religion in any box, and I don't do a Muslim. I have several Muslim friends. I have many Jewish friends. I have many gay friends. We don't judge each other. It's their religion. But unless they are carrying out terrorist attacks, then they're just like anyone else. As I pointed out repeatedly, Muslims aren't the issue. Jihadists are the problems. Not every Muslim is a jihadist, but every jihadist is a Muslim. Can we not have the left understand, respect that, and denounce violence when it's created on that side, even if it's in their name? That cannot be asking too much. That can simply be asking for justice. It can be asking for fairness, equality. But we're not getting that. What we're getting is a hypocritical approach that, well, we're not even going to answer the question, and we're going to laugh about it if you ask us a question like that. Do you imagine if what would have happened if the First Lady had been asked by some reporter that some question that the left wants to put on her being racist? Say a reporter said, do you think your husband's racist? And she laughed and said, I'm not going to answer that. Of course, we're not going to give any time to that question. And then she gets in the car and they see her laughing. That would be front page coverage, breaking news all day long for mainstream media. All right, let's try to find something to wrap up this evening and then not send you away all wrapped up. And I hear from a lot of folks that, Harley, I wish the hell you were on earlier because you get me so wrapped up in the evening I can't sleep, and then I'm just filled with desire, rage, something to get something to change. So here's what we'll do. We'll take a break, and we'll come back, and a touching story of young and old love. And remember, don't get angry with me when I say love means never having to say you're sorry.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
The IRS is clearly our most powerful government agency. If the IRS decides you've done something wrong, you're suddenly facing serious issues. I know that can be traumatic, and I found out trying to deal with the IRS on my own was a big mistake. So I called the Lance Drury Law Firm. The American Society of Tax Problem Solvers rates Lance Drury at the top. That's because Lance Drury has decades of experience. He knows how to deal with the volumes of regulations and red tape. Lance Drury quickly laid out a plan for me that would satisfy the IRS and save me money. And don't go into the IRS lion's den without Lance Drury by your side. Say you heard about Lance Drury on Larry Connors USA and get a free consultation. Lance Drury Law Firm, 314-238-7360. 314-238-7360. Call the Lance Drury Law Firm and sleep better at night.
Change, change, change. Change, change, change.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So I'm sitting here thinking, when some of you heard me say that a moment ago, love means never having to say you're sorry. Some of you probably said, oh, no, he didn't. And you know where that line comes from. Others, what's so funny or big about that? That is from the movie Love Story, a 1970 film starring Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neal. Now, a piece written by Rolling Stone, I think it was. I think that's the source I've got here in front of me. An entertainment piece. It was dealing with that just a couple months ago. What does that mean anyway? Does love mean never having to say you're sorry because lovers never disappoint each other or should never? Is it because apologies are unnecessary when two people love each other? What's so special about the line? Why is it so annoying? Maybe annoying simply because it sounds like one person condescendingly telling another person what love means. Now, that's the way it's written in this article. It could also be, what's this dread of having to say you're sorry? Don't people often say they're sorry for good reasons? Person feels they need to say they're sorry. Person B says, no, you don't. That was part of the whole movie. That line, love means never having to say you're sorry. And by the way, that movie coming out in 1970, and a couple of years later, Ryan O'Neill in another movie, and again, he was in Love Story. A couple years later, he's in another movie with Barbara Streisand, a comedy titled What's Up, Doc? And at one time, Barbara Streisand tells Ryan O'Neill in the movie, well, you know, love means never having to say you're sorry. And he shoots back, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It was a good play on the line from a previous movie. I like that. But what does it mean, really? And why is it so dismissive and so hated by some people, changing a mood of love into hate? This article points out that from the movie, the meaning of the quote, love means never having to say you're sorry, could be defined as such when a person truly loves someone, then no matter what they go through, what their social status is, everything is fine, whether it's in sickness, lack of money, or death. If people love each other, there's no reason for regrets. Love means never having to say you're sorry. And of course, that story, the love story, was all about young love. Young love is just beautiful. Some of you will remember it. Some of you are still young and you're involved in love. And then you may be kept young by your love. Young love is beautiful, but so is old love. Herbert and Frances met each other in Georgia at a little cafe. He was at the time 22. She was 16. We're talking about 70 plus years ago. So at that time, it wasn't uncommon for people 16 and 22 to be together, even get married. Herbert said in an interview that Frances worked at a little cafe we had named the White Way Cafe. I kept seeing her going in and out, and I had my eyes set on her. Finally, I got up the nerve to ask her if she'd go out with me sometimes. And they had their first date at the movies. And a year later, he pops a question. I said, will you have me as your husband? And she said, of course. So they got married. And then he served in the Army as a World War II vet. She spent 6 years in Germany later also. He went on to serve in the Korean Vietnam Wars before retiring. They have 6 children, 16 grandchildren, and 25 great-grandchildren, and 3 great-great-grandchildren. Seeing each other when he was 22 and she was 16. Young love. And they got married. Married for 71 years. Him now at 94 and her 88. Last Friday, this couple who had a bond that was not to be broken, inseparable. They were both in the hospital in a care facility. One of them died. Doesn't matter which one. 12 hours later, the other one passed away. They both passed away on the same day after 71 years of being together. Young love and old love.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.